Welcome back to DC Cinematic Minute, the daily podcast where we analyze Zack Snyder's Justice League by each individual minute. My name is Nathan. You can find me on all social media at NoClutchNate.
And my name is Mark. You can find me on all social media at Mark Meadows.
And today we are talking about minute number 204 of Zack Snyder's Justice League, part 6, Something Darker. The minute's going to start out with two of our famous catchphrases from Wonder Woman and Aquaman. And the minute is going to end with the Flash being knocked down, brought down. That was what was written, but I looked away.
Brought down, knocked down.
Either one.
Yeah. Both in the same. We say the word synonymous for that. Man, what do I say about this beginning? It's almost like a reference. It's like a meme now for these two, and yet magically they both say the line together. You know, the Jason Momoa's Aquaman going, "All right," and Wonder Woman with the Kal-El bit. They somehow make a moment where they both say it.
It seems together. Like that was a catchphrase, at least for like this production.
Movie, you're saying yeah. It now. It's like, oh wow.
And
wow.
Like that is what they say. I mean, it's similar to Booyah, you know? That's just what they say in this heroic moment where they're looking upon Superman, you know, coming in to save the day and be Superman. So it fits. It's just highly memeable.
It's highly. Yep. That's meme economy right there.
Yep.
The fact that they both say it throughout this movie, and, you know, people have their criticisms about the performance of saying those lines, but it's like, it is what it is. And I don't think that there is room for criticism of it, but like, for them to both say it, it's like, wow. It's like Anakin saying, "I don't like sand," twice in the same movie. After the first one was comical, and it's like, now he's saying it again as a catchphrase. And it's like, oh,
yeah.
You do realize people find this funny, right?
That's like the awareness of that. The awareness of its memeability is kind of what gets me. But, you know, I think it's in... in step with just regular comic book paneling, you know,
and the original memes, you know what I mean?
I love whenever Wonder Woman will call him Kal-El. I love it. I think it's great. I think that's great that Wonder Woman refers to him as such. Bruce Wayne, Batman will refer to him as Clark. I like that. What I also like is the heavy hitters of the Justice League being Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and Superman will all get a turn just bounding the shit out of Steppenwolf in this minute.
Yeah.
It is like so empowering to see that happening where like Wonder Woman, and I love the kind of drop down she does, kind of like, oh, I'm enjoying this again. Like this is the Wonder Woman we saw like smiling in the heat of battle, like she loves this, and then doing that kind of vambrace, like that clash. And then Aquaman does something too with his trident, and it's super, you know, flamboyant what he does with like all the flips and spins before hitting Steppenwolf. But this is a legit thing, right? Like he's building up momentum by doing this.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like it's got to be like real martial arts moves for that weapon set. Like that
just
has
like
to be the
staff in general.
Yeah.
Just
staff or like any elongated melee weapon. You can do these things and it still works with the form because you are using and building up the momentum.
Yeah.
And also it could very well be going back
just
to...
just because it looks cool.
I was going to say, going back to traditional Maori warriors or something along that nature, South Pacific warriors. kind of deal. So
mm-hmm.
And I'm inclined to believe in, that.
In Aquaman, the two movies.
He does it a lot?
Right? Doesn't he? In the two movies, he builds up like momentum, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, there's a lot of traditional stuff thrown into his acting style that he brings to the character.
Yeah.
So yeah, again, I think it makes sense. I think it fits.
That it's both. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is a great flair that he does with his trident. But I wanted to mention the Wonder Woman entrance again, because that is just very much so anime character. Like, ah, ha, ha, you cannot beat me. Like, I am the most powerful. She even does like a head raise. She like lands and her head is down. And she raises and lifts up her shoulders to meet it. And it's like, oh, this is, again, like
checkmate, loser.
Yeah, like that's the Saiyan mentality, where you get knocked down, but like every time you get knocked down, you get stronger, so you come up and you're like even more of a badass. It's like, oh, this person is gonna kill me now.
Yeah, yeah, it looks really, it's just a great moment. Wow, just like watching it over and over again, and seeing, yeah, just seeing all of this, like all three of them attacking Steppenwolf in unison, and you know, Superman coming up, hitting Step, he almost does like this uppercut to Steppenwolf, sends him flying into like the wall, and then like immediately like Henry Cavill just like flexing and like boosting up into the sky, like it's just really empowering. It's very just like
the meteor punch. I mean,
yeah.
This is like the Superman that you want to play in Injustice.
Yeah.
And it all looks so well, and I really enjoy that, like, he's obviously like intense, and you know, anger is flowing through him, if you will, or determination rather. But it's very fitting of the character. He looks
very thorough.
Yeah, he looks very much like Superman. This is great. We even get that, like, meteor punch is even in that same over-the-shoulder flying punch. So, you know,
yeah,
one of the favorite Superman moves.
Yeah, the Superman, yeah, the haymaker that we saw in Man of Steel. And then again, the way he kills Doomsday with the spear. This is here in this minute, is we'll see that Superman over-the-shoulder haymaker that he does to knock Steppenwolf back down into the walkway that leads to the mother box. And yeah, then he'll land on top of him, punch him, do the heat ray vision, slicing off one of Steppenwolf's horns off. And yeah, I don't see it as like any hint or inkling of the kind of, how would you say it? Like the unhinged Superman that we saw earlier when he was resurrected. But when we talked about his moment with his mom and his and Lois at Kent Farms, he says, like, I've been giving another chance and I'm not going to waste it. Like, here in this moment, he's like, I'm not fucking around. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
This alien is a threat to my world and I'm going to kill you immediately, because like last time I hesitated and people got hurt and I can't be doing that anymore. Like, I can't think about, you know, like, General Zod got killed and it's like, I'm very sorry about that, but if Steppenwolf's gonna kill you guys again, like, I have to kill this guy. Like, I have to do this. I can't second guess, you know, trying to talk to this character.
Yeah.
So he's just like, nope, I have to kill you now. You're a threat to the human race and the entire universe. So
it's good that goodbye. You said, like, there is no inkling of like the unhinged Superman, where like you would question whether or not he, you know, really came back, or if the evil side is, you know, too great to subdue, so it takes over. But no, it's not like that at all. This is like a calm and collective, not calm, but a collective Superman that is very self-aware of who he is and what he is. So he's back, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a great moment from him and for the other teams to kind of have this support. here's where things take a sharp turn into tragedy, though. So we'll cut back to Cyborg. He's ready for the charge now. And so the Flash is about to deliver it. But this parademon, who has not been defeated yet by Batman, will kind of figure out mathematics and finds out, oh, I should probably lead my shots. And then I'll be able to hit the Flash. And it works. He's able to shoot ahead of the Flash and kind of stop him. And it will stop the Flash completely. And I think this parademon deserves a raise, don't you think?
Yeah, what's their compensation like, I wonder? What kind of money are they dealing with on Apocalypse? Like lava coins?
Yeah, what's the promotion, right? Like, you get to be a Desaad person later. You know, this is how Steppenwolf started.
Yeah.
He started as a lowly parademon and worked his way up.
Could be.
That's how you climb the corporate ladder in Apocalypse.
You know, when we were talking about it, there's like two different types of parademons, right? There's like the more insect bugged one, and then there's these mm-hmm. more like brute people
looking
ones.
Scouts and like the soldiers yeah. type.
You know, I wonder if it's just like a matter of transformation. They just go back into like, you know, Apocalypton transmutation pod. And, you know, they put in, I don't know, what is a promotion? You get fused with like a rhino or something to make you more bigger. Maybe give you a horn or two. So then, you know.
The Rondor Beast parademons.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. And that's how you know they got promoted, because they, you know, just get like bigger. It's like the Covenant mindset.
I'm trying to look up, like, Is there a parademon that's like famous in comic books?
Oh, Jim? Yeah. No, I don't know.
Right?
I do not know.
I'm like looking here. Okay, here's a couple we have here.
Notable parademons.
We have 3G4. We've got Far Zoof, we've got Top Kick, and then we've got one parademon with no name, a nameless parademon who came to Earth and became an unwilling member of the Secret Six. And then we have one called Mother Machine, a human who was partially parademonized, bestowing technopathy. And let's see. Oh, wow. I totally forgot this. But remember Blackhawks came out with the New 52 back in 2011? I actually had this issue, and I totally forgot about this. One of the members was Mother Machine, who was a woman who survived being parademonized.
I don't remember. And I didn't so she read was part Black of the Hawks. Team. I didn't read the Blackhawks. That was It took place in World War II, did it not? In the 40s?
No, not in this iteration. Oh. And normally, yes, but in this version, it wasn't. It was modern day covert op team. And it might have been like the New 52 trying to have something similar to like what Marvel was having with, you know, like the Black Hawk program. They wanted something that was like covert ops and, you know, almost G.I. Joe like. And well, so Mother like, Machine was a notable parademon. Or like, I don't know, just metahuman covert ops lady who was Mother Machine. Yeah. Half parademon. That's interesting. Yeah, that's a cool lady. She has nanosite manipulation, technomorphing, and cybernetic enhancements.
Technomorphing, that's cool.
Yeah. That's a cool one.
That's like what like just the Allspark in Energon is. It's just technomorphing.
Mm-hmm.
MacGuffin.
Yeah.
Shake the Allspark around and you hit it. You know, the Allspark gets in contact with a vending machine. It turns it into a little evil robot guy. Didn't that happen in the Transformers?
It might have, yeah. There's so many. The lore of Transformers is extensive. Here's a parademon. His name is just Parademon, created by Gail Simone. For the Villains United issue run, this is back in 2005, This unnamed parademon was a former warrior loyal to Granny Goodness until he went rogue and was pressed ganged into the Secret Six by Mockingbird, who promised to keep the parademon a secret from Granny Goodness. So he was kind of like a defecting parademon. Yeah.
Mockingbird. That's weird.
Lex Luthor. Yeah. We have another parademon here. This one's called Topkick. This sounds like a Transformers name. Yeah, so this was in Aquaman Volume 5 of 1997. And so he's related to... We have a couple parademons here. Let's see. We have two here. We have 3G4 and Topkick. So they're both in this Aquaman series. 3G4... Why is it called 3G4? It's like cell phone service.
Well, it's kind of like I'm thinking like they're very much akin to like the Borg.
Yeah,
hive mind creatures.
So 3G4 was a parademon spawned as a soldier on Apocalypse during the Genesis event. He's crash landing on Earth. He met Aquaman and was encouraged to fight against his mindless programming, developing sentience. He questioned his orders for the first time in parademon history. And then his instructor, or like his commanding officer, Topkick, was not happy about that. So Topkick almost kills Aquaman, but then he also really kills 3G4, which is a little tragic for the character.
I was trying to see if it was like if there was meaning behind that name, and it's like 3G4. I immediately go into like Leet, but that's just EGH, and that doesn't mean anything.
I think what it is that like they're given no independence, right?
Like, yeah, that's why it's like Borg mindsets, you know.
Mm-hmm.
3 of 5.
Yeah, so it's he has no sense of his former self. He just is, and so he's designated 3G4. And so once he's like, no, I'm a person, and my name is Anakin, and then Topkick's like, nope. You're just another one of us. And then he kills him. Yeah. And then there's one other notable parademon. This one's from Birds of Prey back in 1999. Name is Farzoof or Parzoof. I don't know anything about this character. There's no information. But yeah. Who knows? Maybe it's just some with the... Let's see. Birds of Prey. Oh, this is a long one. And people can look it up. It's a parademon. try to give significance to parademons.
Yeah, they don't need them.
But yeah, I wonder if this one has a name. I wonder if the internet has named this character yet. So, but yeah, lucky shot there, dude. Good on you. You knocked out the fastest man alive. So, yeah. We'll see the parademon. He'll shoot this cannon. It's a really great shot of the parademon shooting the turret at the Flash. I really like just that image there. But I also really like the shot, the camera looking into the trees and seeing this blue light go by. I really like that. It almost has like this cinema verite to it, where it looks like a documentary style videotaping that they do for Man of Steel, and I really enjoy that image, and the lighting of the trees is just fantastic.
If you remember correctly, the beginning of Dawn of Justice has one very similar, where it is Batman looking up at the sonic boom as they re-enter the atmosphere after he throws the satellite on him, and he looks up and it focuses in, like it does like a zoom in of, you know, Superman with his red cape and Zod, and he's crashing down back into Earth.
Yeah.
I think that's what that's from, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's in the beginning of Dawn of Justice. Yeah, there's much more cinema verite in the beginning there because it is like calling back to the way Man of Steel looked with it, mm-hmm. where it was just like, oh, we love this. We want to keep doing this for the entire movie. It's like, yeah, it works. And it works here as well.
I dig it. It's not a bad minute. It's a pretty hefty minute that, and again, it's doing it minute by minute. Kind of a slow burn, to be honest with you. Like, and then they pack a lot. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. Like we did already last week. this week we've been talking about a lot of stuff. A lot of things happen in these last, I don't know, 20 minutes or so, however many, 30 minutes.
Yeah, it's been 1 week. It'll be 15 minutes, and then we have another week of minutes to next week. So, yeah, 20 solid minutes. Yeah, that seems to be the standard for an action piece for Zack Snyder. It's like a good solid 20 minutes. Like, every time he's done a big action piece, it's been like a solid 20-minute action scene. And that's where we are now. Well, tomorrow will be minute 15, but then the next 5 minutes after that will add up to about 20 minutes. So, yeah, I'm starting to understand that now. So I'll look at that for Rebel Moon when I see Rebel Moon finally, and I'll be like, is this action scene going to be 20 minutes?
Probably. I mean, yeah. Like, think about beginning of Man of Steel. You got 20 minutes of hardcore action and lore, and then you get drama, and then doesn't kick back up until like an hour later.
I heard Rebel Moon Part 2 will be like a total war movie. So I'm kind of excited to see that and see what does that look like.
Yeah.
For his type of filmmaking, like how much action will there be and for how long will the action be going? And I think, yeah, I don't know. I still haven't seen Rebel Moon yet, but I heard Part 1 of like the Zack Snyder version will be coming out like in late September or late summer. So
the director's cut will be in late summer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because Rebel Moon Part 2, the Netflix PG-13 one, is like April 19th or something. So it's coming out pretty soon.
Oh, man. So I haven't watched the first part because I was thinking that I was just going to wait till the director's cut. I didn't know it was going to be after the second part.
Yeah. So they're releasing the PG-13 part first, like both parts. And then the Zack Snyder stuff will be coming out together on the same day. So like Zack Snyder's Rebel Moon part 1 and part 2 dropped the same exact day in late summer.
Okay.
And that I'm gonna just wait for. I probably will not watch both movies back to back, but I will watch them then. And
okay, is it not a 3-part movie? Is it not a 3-part project?
No, they're I think it was supposed to be one movie, but they're each 3 hours apart or 3 hours long. So, yeah. No, I don't know if they plan on making a third one, but we'd have to see what the second one even is to see if, like, what was it supposed to be?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen a single thing about it. I bought the book because it was, like, on sale at Target. And so I was like, well, I have to buy this now because it's on sale. But I haven't read it. I haven't looked at it. I haven't even listened to the music. So I know nothing about Rebel Moon. So
I'm right there with excited. You.
I was like, I don't want to see it. I don't want to be exposed to anything yet. I don't want to have this thing like I have here, where like I have split duality of Justice League. So I don't want to get a bad taste
and be like, well, I don't really want to watch that movie again. I already watched it, and I already watched one version. I didn't like that version. So yeah, I'm trying to not do the same thing that we did with Justice League.
Yeah,
I have a choice now.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, someone is gonna do a movies by minute of Rebel Moon, and I'll have to listen to it. I'll have to like be like, oh, let's see what they have to say, because I don't want to do the work anymore. I don't want to have to go through that. Maybe someone will do it.
All right, well, we're gonna wrap up for today. If you've enjoyed today's show, please consider leaving us a 5-star review. It really does help the show and helps new listeners discover the show as well. If you'd like to join in on the conversation, you can find us on Twitter at DCEUMinute. And if you'd like bonus content, we have a Patreon for just $3 with tons of other podcasts to listen to. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you here next time on DC Cinematic Minute.